You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast is 25% vegetarian, but 100% meaty.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, overflowing with heroes. Heroes here and heroes on the way. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal, and Lindsay Rhodes.
Hey.
Click that for your Emmy reel.
What?
I'm just glad Sessler's here and not driving to Costa Rica, because I sort of was under the impression yesterday. Was that yesterday?
Speak for yourself.
That you were.
What happened?
I know that.
Dan no longer follows me on Twitter, so.
The tweet. It's a decision everyone's got to make. It's a tweet. You're referring to a tweet, Lindsay.
Yes.
Mark made yesterday.
He tweeted something like 70 hours, and he'd like routed the drive from here to Costa Rica, which confused some people that I was with who thought Costa Rica was an island, by the way.
Bad job by them.
When I received that information.
Adults, yeah. Nice geography.
They were adults. I'm not going to out them. So I thought you were literally making the 70-hour trek to Costa Rica in your car with your family.
Uh-oh.
And I was wondering why you got so much vacation time.
Don't have the vacation time. Would not have been able to take the family. Would not have gotten clearance to go with the by myself on any level.
No,
from the employer or the home front.
I read this tweet differently. It says roughly 70 hours to drive to Costa Rica and vanish. In this scenario, I don't think the family's involved.
At no point did I think the family was involved.
No, of course not.
He wouldn't vanish without his family. What's wrong
with would tell them. I would tell them.
He loves them.
You would tell them.
That's right.
You would tell them where you were.
I would tell them.
He would vanish from his family.
That's amazing. At least it's not just a picture of blue.
All right, fair enough.
Well, that's true too. Lindsay, you're back on the show.
Hi.
Isn't that great? It's been a while, Lindsay. Of course, I like to call her the co-face of the NFL Network. I don't care. You could disagree or agree, whatever. It doesn't matter to me, because Lindsay, along with Dan Helly, another friend of the show, co-host the flagship program of NFL Network, Total Access, Monday through Saturday, like 5 o'clock Eastern.
Roughly 5 o'clock Eastern or 7 o'clock Eastern is it's on.
Excuse me, I'm in Pacific and I got that wrong.
You said
too. It was in that,
you know,
area.
Give, take.
7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific.
There you go.
We're flying. So Lindsay, happy to have her with us today. Big show. When's the last time you were here, Lindsay?
It's been
a minute.
Years.
It's been a very long time.
It was deep in the offseason last year.
It was, right? The whole season we went.
Yep.
Oh.
There's a whole hierarchy.
How did I stay away?
Within NFL media.
Lack of need to be on the show on your part? Let's start there.
A real job?
There's a hierarchy, and Lindsay is above us. Lindsay.
That is not true.
She's true talent. She is on the big show, as I alluded to. And during the season, it's like, we were smart. We knew not even to like approach you, because, you know, Lindsay was gonna say no. What are you?
Wait until I make eye contact with you.
Yeah.
You now have permission. You may speak.
There's a whole hierarchy. I don't know where do we fit in. We're like in the middle.
I'll tell you where we are.
You guys are all over the tube these days.
Well, we just were listening to the studio people behind the scenes doing a sound check for us, and we were referred to as the podcast bozos. So I think that tells you where we are.
We got. And it didn't seem like a...
Did they know that you could hear that?
It wasn't a joke.
It could have been, but I don't think so.
I think they knew.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think it was
a joke. I don't think they knew. I think that again speaks to where we are.
I'm going to find that person
and don't
Dan has,
hunt them.
Dan has on his notes written down and underlined bozos.
Yeah, I was going to hit that.
He made note of that as well.
There was also, on the radar.
There was also a shadowy league figure. I think we brought it up on this podcast that we heard a note. You know, the note. You get notes. Everyone gets notes on camera. People about, you know, do this better, do this worse. It'd be weird for them to say
do this worse. Please stop being so good at this, you guys. Those are the notes I get. And,
yeah, one of the notes we got.
You're outshining Helly right
please.
Now. We don't want him to feel bad.
Take it down a notch.
One of the notes that we got from a higher up who's no longer with the company is that when we wear the headsets on television, we look like a, quote, bunch of dweebs. So bunch of dweebs, bozos. That's what people behind the scenes are saying about us, and it feels good.
That's half the people watching NFL Network, so we make them feel good about themselves.
That was even
makes
worse.
You approachable,
sure.
Likable.
The bunch of dweebs thing was even worse than a note. It was actually just something they said to disparage us to other people.
Yeah, it was like a third-hand thing that we heard. Anyway, big show today, a show in which we will break down the latest that's going on in the league. And it's good because Lindsay has her TA show. She'll tape live later today, and it airs, of course, at 7 p.m. on the East Coast. And this is almost like a little – you could do a little boning
it's
up
like a
here,
primer.
A little homework,
right,
a little primer. So here we go. We're going to go through some news, what's happening in the league, and then, we're going to bring this back. This is fun. We did this last year, too. Free agency kind of in the rear view a little bit now. The draft right ahead. This is now where we look into the darkest timeline for – four teams. We'll talk about four. Maybe we'll cover, maybe more than four. You don't know. But at least four teams. We'll talk about what could go wrong. What could go terribly
what
wrong.
What could go wrong.
Everything.
Worst case scenario. But, you know, within limits. It's not like the team is going to drive
off.
Oh, no.
Off. I'm going real dark.
You can go real dark, but just stay realistic. Like you can't.
I'm going like pitch black midnight.
That sounds scary.
Ooh.
You can't. The team can't pack up and move to Costa Rica or anything. But
it would take them 70
within.
Hours to get there if they drove.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's true. So that's the show today. Big show. And let's get to it. La Cid, how are you, by the way?
I'm great. I'm just, you know, plugging along, trying to get this network thing up and running, you know.
That's right. We
are
on.
You guys to the level you deserve.
You're running the network now?
Pretty much.
We are on Up to the Minute live on Wednesday. It'll be too late for the people listening to this podcast. But we're back on every day. This week, Up to the Minute, people should watch 2 p.m. We'll be back on Friday,
except for tomorrow,
at 2 to 3. We will not be on Thursday show, but
Pacific.
They should still watch it.
Basically,
those are the Pacific times.
Pacific too. Times. Pacific. Yeah, enough of this East Coast bias. Let's start talking Pacific.
Basically,
so true.
They're going to use us until things pick up just a little bit, and then they'll just flush us right out of the show until next spring. That's the way it works. Let's do some news.
I hate the New England Patriots.
Who was that, Greg?
Your dad? I don't
know. Comey, come on.
Come on. Director of the FBI testifying before Congress. Making
your dad.
A somewhat labored. It could have been my dad.
Keith.
Hey, Danny, I don't like these Patriots. They're no good. making a labored metaphor, I guess you could call it, about.
Which he referred to as a homely metaphor.
A homely?
I didn't.
So
yeah, I didn't
not very
quite
pretty?
Understand
homely.
That. I was like, is there a different use of the word homely?
Incorrect usage, I would say.
Yeah.
Long way to go.
It was all about the situation with how Russia may have impacted the general election with Trump and Hillary. And I guess someone had questioned Comey, said, hey, you're saying
– Comey.
What did I say? Oh, Comey.
Just conflated them.
Yeah. So, you know, someone had said, hey, how about the idea that if they weren't trying to help Trump, they just – didn't want Hillary to win. And he said, well, it's like the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. I don't care. Anybody. It's only two teams. I want the Patriots to lose all the time.
So he's admitting
whoever they're playing, I'm rooting for.
He's admitting that Deflategate was manufactured.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe he knows how to get that Super Bowl ring back from Putin.
They got the jerseys back. Let's move on. Let's start with the Carolina Panthers. Not good news. I don't like this news.
Mm-mm.
Cam Newton, star quarterback. Superman, they call him, but he is dealing with a shoulder injury, a partially torn rotator cuff. He will have surgery at the end of this month to repair it. The injury was suffered in week 14. I mean, just the cherry on top of a really terrible season for Carolina. So he'll have surgery at the end of this month. He's expected to be ready for the start of training camp. But, you know, Lindsay, that is start a training camp. That means he's not going to be involved with the off-season program. You never want to get ahead of yourself this time of year and say, oh, the Panthers aren't done because of this. But it's not a good way to get going this year.
It's not a good thing. Obviously, quarterbacks usually spend a lot of time in the off-season working on timing with their receivers and stuff like that. So that this puts him pretty far behind the eight ball. I think Mike Garofolo's date that he'd thrown out there for when he could start throwing was somewhere around July 20th. Because he's not even having the surgery until the end of March. Why isn't he having it until the end of March? Because he said that there were some commitments that he had that he didn't feel comfortable ducking out of between now and then.
I mean, so it's only another
that
week.
I'm really curious to know what those commitments were.
There better be some badass commitments.
Right?
I don't know.
Feels like whatever they were, there's a larger commitment called the Panthers. But
well, the bigger issue is it's taken 2 months to realize he needs the surgery. You know, like 1 week doesn't seem like a huge issue, but the fact that
they thought it would heal
on
its own.
March, yeah, it's just unfortunate for them, and it makes me, you know, makes you rethink the end of his season. It was the worst part of Cam Newton's disappointing season was December after this injury occurred. I mean, just the last couple weeks
You're
of the season.
You're underselling it. It was one of the worst stretches of passing the NFL has seen in the last 25 years.
Whoa.
Well, and then there was no tie gate, right? So
exactly.
All sorts of issues. Well,
he had a lot going on.
I think that his struggles started even before that, I believe, like that poor streak. Like, it was already happening. It's like he was having a bad season, but then he started throwing interceptions. It got even worse. I mean, he's had a career where one season's great, the next is terrible. He's due for a great season, but this isn't a good
If you wanted to sell them as some sort of a bounce-back team 2 years removed from the Super Bowl, well, that becomes much harder right now.
In other quarterback news, the Jets have found their presumed starter, at least for the start of the 2017 season. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported that Josh McCown signed a 1-year contract with the Jets. The Rappaport added that McCown can earn up to $13 million in gameplay and performance incentives, but the fully guaranteed part of the contract is $6 million. That can jump up to $8 million or so if he makes enough starts. But I imagine, Mark, and you saw plenty of Josh McCown last season. Well, not too much, but enough, I'm sure. McCown might start the season, but it's very hard to envision him finishing it either by injury or with the Jets taking a look at their younger guys.
I think they have to be committed. If they're truly trying to throw the season, which I don't buy that at all from the coaching angle, there is absolutely no way that Todd Bowles thinks, hey, listen, let's go out and go 1-15 because I'll definitely be here at the end of that. You won't be there by Thanksgiving if you're 1-10. So you've got to go out and get a veteran that you believe is good for these other quarterbacks on the roster. Josh McCown will give you about 3 or 4 games until, you know, the collarbone gets shattered somewhere before October. I love Josh McCown, the guy, but this has happened year after year. Yep. The reason that, you know, Tampa Bay, Mike Glennon became a thing is because Josh McCown couldn't stay healthy. The reason Cleveland had 5 other quarterbacks take snaps last year is because Josh McCown, the guy they planned to go into the season with, couldn't stay healthy after Robert Griffin went down. So the same thing is going to happen in New York. And even if he doesn't get hurt, I think you're going to keep drafting quarterbacks. They might draft another one this year. You got to take a look at some of these other guys at some point. Why did you take Christian Hackenberg in the second round? Because you know what? Even if you say Todd Bowles is gone, but the GM stays, that he has some mandate to do what it takes to rebuild the team, he has to still explain to fans why we drafted Christian Hackenberg in round 2. It's not a cute thing. You have to. That is an irresponsible pick if he goes another season without playing.
To me, listen, you know I'm a Jets homer, but I'm also I go after the Jets when I have to. In this case, the Jets are having a sneaky good offseason. I know that sounds crazy.
What?
I know that sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy.
Let me elaborate.
Thank you.
They know who they are. They know what they have to do. They are rebuilding. So some things that the old Jets or the Jetsy type things they could have done this year that they didn't. They could have overpaid to get Mike Glennon. They could have deluded themselves into chasing Tony Romo. They could have talked themselves into Jay Cutler. They could have spent a lot of money in free agency to try to build another 8-8, 9-17. Instead, this is a perfect example of, I think, ownership, or at least the general manager, Mike Maccagnan, is thinking of this in the proper perspective. Go and get Josh McCown. good guy in the locker room. But really, at the end of the day, he's just going to hold the fort, have a guy, a steady guy in there that then could turn things over. And you get a look at Hackenberg and maybe Petty. I don't know if Petty's even going to be on the team, to be honest. But we're going to see a lot of Christian Hackenberg. And it might be grisly and ugly, but this just confirmed to me that we will see a lot of Christian Hackenberg. And if it ends with Hackenberg surprising us and looking good, then the Jets will not feel so terribly about that draft pick. If he bombs out, hey, it moves him closer to a little scam for Sam situation.
There's a term for young quarterbacks who are 2 or 3 years away from playing. 6th or 7th round draft picks, not 2nd round draft picks.
Mm. Yep, I'm not defending that pick.
Lindsay's just scowling at this whole point Dan's trying to make.
No, I think your point is well taken in that they didn't overspend for people that are only going to be like 1 or 2 year contributors, that they're at least embracing the fact
which
that
they're
in rebuilding mode, which you're right, they clearly are in. And that's kind of what this signing screams to me, is that he's just a stopgap quarterback. You bring him in, he's being paid like a high-end backup, you know, who might be given the chance to start or start a couple of games down the road at some point. I think what you maybe are seeing here is that they're just kind of putting somebody in that's serviceable while they're admitting that they're kind of going to suck this year.
You're
put the pieces
right
together for this season, maybe next season, and then try and plug in a quarterback that they actually think is their guy.
It's great for fans that want them to lose. Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's great for the idea that maybe we'll play the young guys. Like, I think they even mentioned, like, they think McCown's going to be a great tutor. But no one's pointing out, like, Josh McCown was never that good of a starting quarterback. And last year, he was terrible. He had one of the worst completion percentages, according to Pro Football Reference, compared to the average quarterback in the last decade. Like, he wasn't good. Like, right. He's noticeably worse than a lot of people out there. This is a guy who is 37 years old. So it's just a strange guy to be
starting.
But
what's a better option for them? If they really don't have many pieces around him right now, they're not in a position to compete.
A better option depending on what they want to do. I mean, I don't buy the idea that the organization from top to bottom is trying to throw the season. And even if they are,
they're not trying to throw the season.
But bad teams.
It's about being realistic.
Right. Yeah. You could be this whole scam for Sam thing, it's a rough road. I'll tell you that following the Browns last year. They wound up with the number one pick, but it came down to the very end. There are going to be a lot of things that happen along the way. The Jets could still go 5-11 and be one of the worst teams in the league and be out of the reach for one of those quarterbacks.
I don't want 5-11.
Plus, the Browns have enough picks to move up over just about anybody.
Well, plus, Sam Darnold might not come.
You got to be one or nothing.
You might not be in the draft.
You never know.
I mean, he's a redshirt freshman.
Oh, God.
Wait.
He might not be that good. Like, there's a million
things. Stay with the Trojans, Sam.
But Lamar Jackson might be even better, or Sam Rosen might be better.
Or none of that might happen. At this point last year, everyone was like, wait till next year's quarterback class.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, way plugged in on the USC scene. A USC alum, used to work for the university in a professional capacity.
No, I mean, I covered them regularly as a beat.
Just go with it. You know for sure whether Sam's coming out, so you're going to let us know right now. We have an exclusive Lindsay way plugged in with the Trojans. Sam Darnell coming out. Is he coming out of USC after one more season? That's what I want to know. I know you're plugged
in. I don't
know
that answer.
Okay.
Do you think he's worth all this hype? You know, we got USC expert here.
He's pretty good.
Okay.
He's pretty good. I mean, I'm not as close to the, you know, team as I was in the past because I don't cover them with any frequency, but just from a fan standpoint, boy, he's fun to watch.
Mm.
I want him on my team for a few more
years. Darnold.
They'll get the number one pick and take a defensive tackle.
Let's move on. The competition committee gathering next week's annual league meeting in Phoenix, and they are talking about the idea, according to NFL Network's Judy Batista, of shortening overtime. Judy Batista tweeted Monday that the committee will propose reducing both preseason and regular season overtime periods from 15 to 10 minutes. Postseason games would keep the traditional 15-minute time limit. And why would they do this? Judy says, reports that the committee believes there is a, quote, real disadvantage for a team playing an entire 15-minute overtime period before having to turn around and play a Thursday night game the following week. Greg, what do you think about this? Much ado about nothing?
When they do moves like this that seem minor, I want them to do more. Like, okay, who could even disagree
with
this?
It's a half measure.
It's a half measure. Who could even disagree
with taking
5 minutes off? If you're
really concerned about safety, you wouldn't be playing on Thursday nights.
Yep.
The Thursday night argument doesn't make sense to me. I don't mind overtime being shorter, but
I hate overtime. Deal with more Why ties. Do we want more ties?
That's you're right though. Like 10 minutes more.
I mean, it's only 5 minutes left. Less. That's a very small percentage of a 75-minute game. In theory, you're knocking it down from 75 to 70.
And okay? If you want to talk about half measures, what this would really affect, and this is from NFL Research, 83 regular season overtime games in the last 5 seasons, 22 of them, which is about a quarter of them, have featured an OT that lasted more than 10 minutes. So we're talking about a handful of games.
What if the competition committee, you know, the NFL dominates the sports world. They want to help out their fellow sports, that they motion to shorten the Major League Baseball and NBA regular seasons by 50 to 60 games each.
I don't know. What would that accomplish?
Less gate for the other sports, but those sports would grow in popularity because the people that are 24 today don't hang with 162 game baseball schedule. Mm. Dan doesn't like this at all. He's a baseball purist.
The NBA season is too long, but the Major League Baseball game is too long.
Yeah.
I have no problem with 162 baseball games. You play every day in baseball.
Also, I love counting stats in baseball. I love 100 RBIs. I love 20 wins. I don't want to mess with that. NBA, it's an average league. Now let's count
down. They already tacitly admit the regular season doesn't matter when they bench all their stars for the big games.
All right. All right, we kind of veered there, but it's okay.
Veered into correct territory.
Thank you, Mark, for steering us there.
Mark, you nailed it. Moving on, Kiko Alonso. Good news, Dolphins fans. After having a nice bounce-back season, the Dolphins announced on Tuesday that they gave the linebacker a 3-year contract extension, taking him through the 2020 season. Extension is worth $25 million, including $18.5 million guaranteed. Good money. That is like NFL Total Access co-anchor money right there.
Oh, man. Exactly.
Anyway, that's all from Mike Garafolo. Wes, Kiko kind of fell off the radar after he got banged up with some injuries in a couple of years. Was he worth this type of investment?
He had a good bounce back season. So he reset his market after being an absolute bust in Philadelphia. But if you watch the Dolphins linebackers, they were among the worst in coverage of any group in the league.
I'm confused about this one, that this was one of their big priorities. Did Kiko Alonso get you going? Get the Dolphins going last year?
This was a team that a couple weeks ago we thought was going to blow up the free agency market, and they were not one of the teams that, you know, stole the show, as that lady would say down in Florida.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
But how about this? I think sometimes you do these things just to kind of validate what you did an off-season ago. We traded for the guy. Now we're going to show you that we were right about it by giving him a contract. And it seems great to the people that aren't really watching the games. I think Kiko Alonso's not the worst guy to re-sign. He's fine. But it's not like, wow, they hit a home run and they're doubling down on it.
Right. He's fine, but they seem too excited to bring the gang back together of one of the worst defenses in the league. They're like, oh, wait, we had Andre Branch for $1.5 million last year. Let's pay him $9 million. I don't know.
What's going on with Zach Brown, who was also there?
I would like that
day.
That'd be a nice move.
Is seemingly just touring the country.
On money, I think.
He had half a Pro Bowl season and then kind of disappeared in the last 2 months.
Elsewhere.
And now is visiting the team that he played with.
He's on
last
his way
year,
to Costa Rica.
Right? Which feels weird to me, if only, right? How do you have a visit, though, with the team that you played for last season?
Kristen Michael visiting the Packers.
Eddie
Lacy visited the Packers at one point, too.
I agree. It seems weird. What's changed?
You know
in the
what's
last
here?
2 months? Right. You know the coaching staff?
Hey, here's the weight room.
Just get free breakfast that day.
69 hours to Costa Rica, Mark. If you're trying to think of a memoirs title, if you actually go through with it, not bad.
I will go through
if you're Gronk.
Nice. There's a little pop to it. In other middling linebacker news, Manti Te'o has found a new home with the Saints after spending the last 4 years in Chargers. With the Chargers, the former second-round pick agreed to a 2-year deal with the Saints. Mike Garafolo reported Te'o, 38 games with the Chargers, 221 tackles, a sack and a half, 2 picks, has dealt with some injuries. And Wes, again, Te'o, he's not going to get anybody excited, and he hasn't really lived up to the hype. But the hype was mostly about one of the greatest sports scandals of all time, never about what he could do in this league.
It's a perfect fit for him to land with the Saints, a coverage-deficient linebacker who's always burnt.
Fits right in.
They always sign these other linebackers that struggled on other teams. Like, And it never works. Teo, to me, is just a good reminder of someone said this recently, and it struck me as true. Like, these players that are in the draft that are the focus of this draft, they will never be, for most of them, they'll never be more famous than they are in the pre-draft process. Even if that Teo crazy story never happened, he never would have been more famous just coming out of Notre Dame. He was a big name, you know, a well-known guy.
National championship.
And then most, you know, they have careers like Manti Te'o where he's just kind of forgotten about after a few years. He'll kick around for 7 years, make a good living, and who knows?
Let's move on. On Monday's show, we had I would call it a spirited discussion about Colin Kaepernick and why he's unemployed and the reasons that is going on. That's a big story around the league right now. And in the Mike Freeman Bleacher Report column that we cited during that conversation, one anonymous AFC GM had said that some teams are spooked by the idea of Donald Trump tweeting something negative about the team. And I don't know if I'm going to say maybe not just a coincidence that now after that report gained some traction, the president opened his mouth during a speech of some kind.
Your San Francisco quarterback, I'm sure nobody ever heard of him. There was an article today that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump. Do you believe that? I said, if I remember that one, I'm going to report it to the people of Kentucky. Because they like it when people actually stand for the American flag, right?
The guy is drunk.
Greg, first of all, I like you captured it well in your description of when Trump first delivered the comment, the way he stood back and then just soaked in the adulation of that.
He's just like a stand-up comedian at this point who's only happy when he's getting the adulation and cheers in these rallies before he has to go home and read, you know, everyone hammering him in terms of articles and everything. Like, that, who is still rallying?
He's not reading that.
Peter King's got to feel good, though. Wasn't that from his
article? Was it Mike Freeman?
That was a Bleacher.
Oh, my bad.
It was Freeman.
I think Mike Freeman is suddenly on fire.
An anonymous quote to Mike Freeman. And
maybe name drop him if you're the president. But
one anonymous general manager now being quoted by the president.
Exactly. And you know, all that nonsense aside, Wes, you actually, because it is something people are talking about, you went and you watched every snap from Colin Kaepernick in the 2016 season. And what was your takeaway?
Well, first of all, I'm fascinated by Colin Kaepernick because I don't think anybody truly knows who he is or what he is at this point. But he has become like a Rorschach prism, where you see in him what you want to see and let it reflect your own personal agenda. Like, I don't know who he is, but everybody's got an agenda with Colin Kaepernick right now. On the hierarchy of reasons why he does not have an NFL team right now, number one is he's not a good passer. He lacks anticipation. He lacks touch. If you watch their offense last year, in the first couple of starts, he tries a few sideline passes down the field and deep. They completely disappear from the offense for the final 2 months of the season because Chip Kelly knows he can't make those throws. He's never asked for the final 2 months of the season to make a throw outside the numbers to a wide receiver or down the field. So when you see a 16-4 TD to interception ratio, that's what it's reflecting. The second reason Colin Kaepernick does not have interest is because he's never run an offense outside of the read option successfully in the NFL or in college. And how many NFL offenses run a read option? Now that Chip Kelly's out of the league, somewhat in Carolina, somewhat in Seattle, but nobody's running a base offense that's a read option. Those are the top two reasons. After that, you get into issues like 2014 dividing the 49ers locker room. These are things that GMs care about. And I think about fourth or fifth on the list, it's like, I don't want to deal with the distraction because he's not that good of a quarterback. If you want to have a fun drinking game, turn on NFL Game Pass, take a shot.
Sounds like a blast.
Take a shot every time Colin Kaepernick opens the game with a third down sack. You'll have a nice buzz. If you want to get hammered, take a shot every time he takes a third down sack. And if you want a useless game, take a shot every time he hits a wide receiver for a pass.
I totally agree with your assessment. And I think that the thing that's getting lost in this is people are looking at it like, oh, there are 64 quarterbacks, you know, in the National Football League between the starters, the backups, obviously leaving out the number threes there. But and you mean to tell me that there are 64 guys that are better than him? But that's beside the point.
Because it's not
you're not trying to bring him in to be your starter right now. What we've seen on the field for the last couple of years isn't somebody who's proven that he can be an NFL starter, right? He's experienced success in the past, but these last 2 years we've seen a lot of football reasons to not want him to start for your team. He was the starter of the San Francisco 49ers. They're one of the worst teams in football last year. He couldn't succeed there. So if I'm another team, why am I begging him to come be my starting quarterback? And if you're looking at him as a backup, which you could make the argument that he's more physically talented than a lot of these other backup options that are getting signed.
No doubt.
You're looking at a backup that isn't the style of backup that reflects the style of the starter. So you've got the Giants who are bringing in Geno Smith. You could maybe effectively argue that Colin Kaepernick has more upside than Geno Smith to me, but Geno Smith is more easily plugged into what Eli Manning does. You don't
not
have to change your offense for that.
No, there's no way Colin Kaepernick's accepting 100,000 guaranteed like Geno to sit behind a quarterback who never gets injured. Kaepernick wouldn't even take the Giants backup job. I mean, and this thing does not exist. It's never existed where just because another quarterback gets signed before you, that means that everybody thinks he's better than you. Right. This is a totally new thing. That's not Benny Cunningham isn't better than Adrian Peterson because he got signed before him.
But I wouldn't be willing to rule out that the social issues are a factor.
They
I just
are
think
absolutely
it's,
a factor.
They're a factor.
That is not what I'm saying.
No,
you
I know.
Can, you
exactly.
can hold the idea in your that head that Colin Kaepernick is an uninspiring quarterback, and I still appreciate
right.
what he's done for activism to shed light on this issue.
Totally agree. And my main point is just it's premature to have the conversation because I think he will be a backup in week one. That's the thing. Is like there's all this conversation. I don't think this would necessarily be the time period where he would have been signed in any offseason. And I think when all the chips, when the draft happens, I don't know when it's going to happen. I think Colin Kaepernick will be number two on someone's depth chart in week one. So it's like a lot of talk about nothing. If,
two more
if he's
points.
Not in the league then maybe it's a blacklist.
Two more points. What do you remember the great Ryan Fitzpatrick blackballing of 2016? Is Jay Cutler getting blackballed now? Like, what? It's... People use him for their agenda, and also somebody needs to make the point that Colin Kaepernick opted out of his contract. He would still be with the 49ers right now.
He would have gotten cut.
They would have cut him.
Well, he's the one who did that.
But right.
But he knew that too, so, but yeah.
This presumes, too, that like everybody in the league is on board with what Trump is saying and that they want everybody standing up for the national anthems. They don't want to deal with any controversy. There are a lot of people in this league that are in positions of power that are incredibly liberal.
Well, our argument was that
their politics.
That is true, but if you look at the 32 owners, that is not the case.
Well, I don't think the NFL is a monolith with all 32 teams holding the same viewpoint.
I agree with you, Wes, but you're and everything about you said about on field, 100% true. You broke it down very well, but it's all a bad soup for Colin Kaepernick. I'm not sure we can easily say it's 60%, 10%, and 5.
It is a bad soup. You're right.
That's what's happening in the news. All right, lot more to get to today, and it is now time. It's you don't like to go down this road. But sometimes you just got to go down and check out what could go wrong with these teams. The darkest timeline.
Hush, little baby, don't
oh, that's so
say
creepy.
A word. Mama's gonna buy you
what's
a
wrong with you people?
Dial
by the way,
that up,
Wes
Pat.
Does like going down this road.
Yeah. I mean, Lindsay.
Wes is gleeful.
You know, you got all this on, you know, you're used to in Total Excel. Every team's great. Every signing's great. We're friends with all the players.
That's
we're
pretty much how the show goes.
Marshawn Lynch, FaceTime. You know, everybody's having a great time.
We're friends with the coaches. No.
Sometimes it's dark.
We got to go.
We've got those girls as our friends.
Someone's got to fill in this dark space.
Take me
it's
there.
Us.
Depress me.
How about this? You are an optimistic person, obviously. You can jump in at any point and just be like, hey, listen, you know, jugheads. Here's the reason why that's never going to happen. Anything you want.
Okay.
You
I might stick with bozos. That seems to be the thing.
You got dweebs,
too.
What was
dorks.
That?
Oh. You See. Guys are dorks.
Yeah, that as well. That dorks. Too. So many options.
We've been down this road before.
All right. It does seem like this comes up a lot when you visit us. All right. Here we go. So we're going to pick four teams. And, Mark, why don't you get us going the darkest timeline for the – Cincinnati Bengals.
I think we're talking about what your entire offseason is, and it couldn't have started off a whole lot worse for the Bengals. You really kind of sit with your hands folded as Kevin Zeitler, your star right guard disappears to the Browns. Andrew Whitworth vanishes to the Rams. And your backup plan is Cedric Obuye and Jake Fisher at tackle. And potentially, you've got Andre Smith, the ex-Bengal that re-signed, to come in and try to play a guard spot. I think that this is a team that last year, only six other teams allowed six more sacks than the Bengals. They already had issues on the line. You're asking, Cedric Obuye was benched last year from his right tackle spot, and now they're moving him over to left tackle with very little experience there. And it is, I cannot think of a more concerning scenario in the AFC North than putting Andy Dalton in that situation. Jeremy Hill, I think the stock is down on Jeremy Hill. They're already talking about looking at running backs in the draft. Let's say you go do that. Let's say Jeremy Hill doesn't rebound, and then on top of it, you draft the wrong guy. Let's say you take some guy like, I don't know, Francisco Waxy from Toledo State. You don't take the right running back. You take the wrong one. He doesn't start for you.
Is that
in
a real person?
One. No, I just made him up. But A.J. Green. We all like A.J. Green. But there's not a lot else happening at wide receiver. They've settled at that position after massive losses last offseason in free agency. And I look at the Bengals. They're a consistent team. They were a couple years incredibly talented. But a lot's been chipped away. You've lost number one. You have three other head coaches around the NFL that were once on your staff. And it's Marvin Lewis now and a bunch of guys that are kind of filling in for all the people that are gone. And I think this has the makings of a 6-10 finish if they don't go out and nail the draft. They are absolutely dependent on the draft.
What was that, Mark?
Well, Marvin Lewis is an idiot.
Whoa.
All right. I don't know when I said that. I don't think he's an idiot. I think, though, he could be. This could be the end for him if they go 6-10.
Oh, now you're getting real.
No,
dark.
Because I think
he'll never get fired.
I think he could make that decision. How many years? How many more years do you go through with this? I don't think that they would do it to him. He may decide to do
Didn't
it.
Didn't get that extension this year, at least not so far, and he was asking for it.
Not loving the feel. Not loving
that
the vibe.
Mike Brown
right
maybe
now.
Is not loving the vibe.
It seems like that's a dark timeline, and none of that is like unrealistic. Obviously,
no team only. Won six games last year.
I thought in this base in December, I remember us talking about at Cincinnati, and I remember thinking like it was a bad year, but if they needed to add some weapons alongside Green and Eifert, and they still could. We'll see in the draft. But if they don't hit on those, if they decide that they can get by with what they have in house,
bye-bye.
I'm not excited about that offense.
Or should you be?
I don't think I wouldn't.
Lindsay?
I wouldn't give up on them yet, though.
I have.
You won't give up on them, though, Linz, will you?
Well, you know, I work on a show that's very optimistic for an hour a day, Monday to Friday,
report.
7 p.m. Eastern. Sessler made a pretty strong argument there, though.
If you want to make a case.
You know it's bad when Gio Bernard is posting during the middle of free agency to Twitter just that emoji with the zipped mouth?
There you go.
Right? Like,
didn't someone else
never
say something
sign.
About questioning the
Carlos
direction.
Done that?
Yeah, he did too.
Something about what's the plan?
Yeah. What's the plan?
He chimed
they,
in.
They were a team that was a little unlucky last year. They outscored their opponents, so they're kind of the opposite of the Texans and maybe the Lions, who were extremely lucky. I don't think the Bengals were – they only won six games. They were not a terrible team.
That's not helping my argument, though.
No, I'm just saying they're off – their team
where
is –
Where are you going?
But they're worse now.
They might be a little worse now.
Well, their offensive line is much worse now.
To me, they have like 8-8 talent. They're not a terrible talent team.
Wes, you will be talking about the Carolina Panthers.
A team that I assumed was headed right for the top of the NFC South again. But there is a lot that could go wrong here. Starting with Cam Newton, who, as Lindsay pointed out, waited too long to have the surgery because he had other priorities. Commitments. What if it's training camp and he's yet to take an offseason snap? He's not ready for training camp, and they're implementing this new offense where he's not going to be as much of a run first quarterback. They talked about it for January and February. We're going to change the way Cam plays. He hasn't been able to incorporate that into the offense. They find out they missed Tech against speed when they see that Kelvin Benjamin and Delvin Funchess aren't getting open in the draft. They know that Jonathan Stewart's on his last legs. The Jets take Leonard Fournette before they get a chance to. And then they're left, you know, McCaffrey and Cook come off the board, and they're left with Francisco Waxy from Toledo State.
There you go.
At running back, I mean.
Francisco's getting a lot of play today.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of pop. It's the most we've ever talked about a college prospect on this podcast. Not a real person.
Sort of a problem,
little problematic.
Yeah.
They find out that Matt Khalil really did turn into a pumpkin, and they gave him $30 or $40 million at left tackle. All this goes wrong. And then here's the darkest of the darkest timelines.
Oh, it's getting spooky.
poor Luke Kuechly suffers a concussion.
What's wrong with you?
It could happen. It's football. You could get a concussion.
Anything could happen.
You've asked him to be a horror writer. That's
you
what
told
he's
me
done.
To find the darkest timeline. It wasn't that dark until that happened.
That was
dark.
That was Mark Sessler dark.
I don't want it to happen. I like Luke Kuechly. He's from Cincinnati. You know, he's a good Catholic boy from the west side of Cincinnati.
You just gave him another concussion on Thomas Davis's birthday.
Wow.
Just feels wrong.
Double shock power.
Well, that's a very dark timeline, and I don't think there's any way Lindsay could fight out of that hole. Let's see if she can.
No, it's dark. That's just dark. It's all downhill from here, Carolina. You're screwed.
I thought that was the purpose of the game.
No, you nailed it. You nailed it. We don't want – let me just add
I mean, why don't you
maybe
just,
with Mark, you what, want the, you know, the Bengals
why don't
to go
you just,
down.
Why don't you just I'd burn the other it. Half of Ron Rivera's house while you're at it? I mean, give me a break.
Oh, my gosh.
But we don't want this to happen. We're just simply pointing out
– I'd like to see the Panthers win the division.
Yeah, what okay. could happen because every year everyone thinks they're going to the playoffs. Then every year a good portion in the league
– right.
stuff goes haywire.
Dirt nap.
And every year, and every year we have literally 6 months of shows to fill between actual football action.
It's important as well to point that out.
That's our decision.
I'm going to talk about a team that, oh, man, they really boned the playoffs when Derek Carr got hurt.
What did they do?
Boned them.
Okay.
It was a real boning of the playoffs when Derek Carr.
It was like a homely metaphor to me.
It was very homely. Went out for the year with a broken leg. And I was bummed out about it. But it did serve as a reminder of the importance and why Jimmy Garoppolo, for instance, it might still be on the Patriots. The importance of having a quarterback you can depend on if things go foobar. And Derek Carr went out for the year. Matt McGloin and Connor Cook were left behind. Connor Cook, I believe he played in that playoff game. It was pretty forgettable.
Yes, he did.
In retrospect, didn't do much.
He did, and it's my theory that our criticism of him in that playoff game might have got us blocked on Twitter from Derek Carr.
You're blocked on Twitter from Derek Carr?
Oh, wait a second. Oh,
burying Greg and Dan. Leads.
All right, Lindsay, we got to talk about this.
Maybe let's
help
do
us
it.
On this front.
Dan's brought it up yeah. many times on the podcast to my discomfort.
So.
You're blocked on Twitter from Derek Carr. This is amazing.
Okay, so this is what you
He's
need
like
to know.
The nicest human being mm-hmm. on Earth.
Well,
and
let's
he
calm
hates
down with
you.
that. I got blocked by Derek Carr. We were never given any explanation why. Greg sheepishly admitted later that he was also blocked by Derek Carr. And I think this is where, and we
I'm
don't
not
know why.
By Derek Carr.
We love him. We think he's a great guy.
Yeah,
a hero. He's sort
he
of
saves
heroic.
Somebody from a car wreck every other
Which
day.
Is perfect for the podcast, right?
He's a hero.
He's a hero.
I have, I declare vengeance on people when they cross me.
It's a long list.
That's vengeance. I have not declared vengeance yet because he keeps on doing things to save people. And it's postponing my vengeance.
Well, you
declaration.
Did declare, but then you withdrew it.
I pulled it.
It
back because he saved somebody's life or something.
I withdraw vengeance.
And wait, then, what did you do to get blocked?
All right. Do you want to know the truth?
Yes.
I don't know if we've actually shared this on the podcast. But after he broke his leg, this is just my theory.
Yeah, you don't know.
I wrote a column in which I cursed the football gods for hurting Derek Carr and messing up the AFC playoffs. Derek Carr, very religious man, I think
there's a 0% chance that's it.
That doesn't make
zero.
Sense to me.
No.
This is my theory because I didn't – because this is when Dan noticed was right after the playoff game. And I was at that playoff game tweeting a lot about it. I think he was at home. He is on record that he didn't go to that playoff game. He's watching at home. He's got Twitter open while he's watching the playoff game. And Dan and I are taking pot shots at Connor Cook or how lousy the Raiders are or whatever during what was an incredibly depressing playoff game. I'd have to go back and through, but I'm pretty sure I took some pot shots at Connor Cook and whatnot. And he's like, forget these clowns going after my boys. Block, block.
You know what?
That's my theory.
Here's the great
oh my gosh,
reason.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. Okay?
That's what
I'm
going to
do some investigative journalism.
You have the power to.
Well, I know someone who knows him pretty
that's
well.
Part two of this is Lindsay works closely with David Carr.
Yeah.
Older brother. Of okay. Derek Carr. Is there a way, Lindsay,
mm-hmm. yes.
that you can open up this conversation with Big Bro?
Right.
And maybe we could broker a peace here.
I think we should. We'll broker a peace treaty.
There's one scenario you're not remembering here.
What?
Not considering. Derek Carr might have blocked thousands of people that night and have no idea who you clowns are.
Well, I'm sure of that.
It's certainly possible. He doesn't follow me. So.
Right. I'm sure of that. But that doesn't explain like what we did to.
Also, this is your theory that I was destroying Connor Cook that day. I don't remember doing that. You're just working under
assumption. Dan, you were with us later in the day, but that afternoon. But the greatest thing was
some sort of anti-Raider thing. That's all.
Wes and I were watching this game at a place called Rick's Tavern by the Sea, and we made a pact to stop tweeting the minute the game started because we had Bruce in us, and we were off the radar. Derek Carr still loves us, still wants to hear what we have to say. We want to hear what he has to say.
I'm sure you guys have an open dialogue with him. Anyway, so Linz, we got to get rolling with the show here, but please work with us on this. Broker a peace.
Well, okay. Are you going to abort your darkest timeline for the Raiders? Because that might not help your cause.
That's the darkest part of the timeline is what's happening.
I can't. You know what? I can't sell this podcast down the river.
Okay, so I'll go to bat for Greg.
It's fine. It's fine.
Thanks, Linz.
Anyway, here we go. I put the podcast first over my non-existent relationship.
It's good that you have integrity player. Like that.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. All right, the Oakland Raiders' darkest timeline. They went out and they got E.J. Manuel. And if Connor Cook, if Derek Carr is unable to stay healthy, because again, Wes, like you pointed out, it's football. What do they
Physical do? Physical sport. They hit
Physical
each other.
Physical sport. And after they, did they learn their lesson?
So now you're injuring him again?
Did they learn their lesson? Don't, you know what, Greg? I see what you're trying to do. It's not flattering for you. Did they improve the backup position necessarily? Is Connor Cook going to develop into a real quarterback? Maybe. But is E.J. Manuel going to be the direct backup? That's a possibility now. I don't think that's a good backup situation. Still a problem there.
Aim higher, Raiders.
Wes, you made the point in our last show. Aim higher. How about this? Everybody's all excited about Marshawn Lynch. We saw it on TA yesterday. Live FaceTime with real Rob. Lindsay just gritting her teeth, being like, Mike Robinson, give me respect. Put down your phone.
I'm sorry. I'm getting yelled at by my bosses. I'm supposed to be working.
Okay,
right now.
Good.
Sorry.
I was talking about how...
I tuned you out so that then I could go to the cars.
He was referencing someone else using their phone, not you.
With my own credibility.
Yes. I was saying how you were angry.
And act like you were a big fan and there's no reason and I haven't heard anything negative come out of your mouth. And that's true because I stopped listening to you.
That's a dark timeline.
I was saying that
Bunsen burned your blowtorch right there.
You were angry with real Rob for not paying attention to you on the show yesterday, and now I just looked at you, and you were on the phone not paying attention.
I know. I apologize.
It's like a TV within a TV within a TV.
It's a vicious circle.
And I wasn't even FaceTiming with Marshawn Lynch. He had a much better excuse than I do.
Anyway, the Raiders get too excited about this Marshawn Lynch thing. They go head over heels, and they go and they get Marshawn Lynch. Only Marshawn Lynch isn't Marshawn Lynch anymore. He doesn't play like he used to play. He's in Oakland, and he's a little bit distracted, and he's a little bit old, and it just doesn't work. And then it's like, oh, that didn't work out. What are we going to do? Oh, we didn't bring in anybody else in. So we got Tywan Jones, DeAndre Washington, and Jalen Richard. Is that how you pronounce that?
Richard.
Let's calm down with that depth chart. And then finally, this is pretty dark.
Let's calm down with the depth chart.
This Vegas
thing. Quite a scenario here.
This Vegas thing.
Yeah.
It's a distraction.
Yes, it is.
It's a legitimate distraction. We don't know what's going to happen with the next vote and if this is actually going to become an issue. But there is this – the Raiders seem really focused on getting out of town. And that probably doesn't sit well with one of the most boisterous, loud, loyal fan bases in all the NFL at the Black Hole. There's some
could be weird
darkest timeline stuff there.
I like that.
The whole Raiders potentially agreeing to move, and we'll hear more about this in the coming week in terms of the owners voting on it, and then theoretically playing in Oakland for two more years is unprecedented as far as I know for that long. And I think it's going to be hard on fans. It's going to be hard on the player. Like, it's just a strange situation.
Finally, Greg, we got a few minutes left. Hit us with a little Broncos talk.
This needs to be like a very quick apocalyptic type scenario.
We got 5 minutes.
A meteor is headed towards
Denver.
That'll
do it. Good show.
No.
Yikes.
Tony Romo is not going to the Broncos. I'm convinced of this now. It's Texans or bust. I think it's going to be Texans. Both sides really want each other, and they have the money to do it now. And so I'd be stunned if Tony Romo is a member of the Broncos. They're not willing to bump up their pay for him. So, okay, quarterback's the same. That they can maybe live with. Their offensive line is where the dark timeline stuff starts. Everyone loves John Elway. John Elway's bugaboo the last few years has not been able to solve this offensive line. Donald Stevenson at left tackle, signing Menelik Watson from Oakland to play right tackle. We'll see what happens in their draft, what they've done. That's not enough. Suddenly you got Trevor Siemian and or Paxton Lynch playing in a new system. Is Trevor Siemian going to be as good in this system, learning another offense with Mike McCoy? Good coach, but there's going to be some adjustment period here at learning another system. Paxton Lynch looked far away from playing last year. He's going to be learning his second offensive system in as many years. That's a lot of moving parts. And then the biggest part of this dark timeline is the fact that Wade Phillips is not there. I don't think that's just a thing that can be glossed over. Okay, Joe Woods is there. Joe Woods. Wade Phillips to Joe Woods. You're talking about one of the greatest coordinators in history to Joe Woods. And if that defense just gets, you know, 20 to 25% worse, suddenly I think you've got problems. I think you've got an offense that's trying to figure its way out. You've got a defense that's not quite as dominant. They don't make enough moves in the draft. They did not have a good draft last year. And this is a team that's used to winning 12, 13 games a year, and they're in the toughest division in football. And I think the darkest timeline is they're last place in the toughest division.
That last part,
I think, is the strongest argument, too, because if Dan's terrible scenario, nightmare thing doesn't happen for the Raiders, how do you – your schedule is going to be an absolute – it's a first-year coach with a non – that defense kind of had issues against the run last year, too. It's not the same defense coming off from 2 years ago. I agree with you.
And part of it is just expectations. I it's almost underrated how good the Broncos have been just because people think, oh, okay, it was all Peyton Manning. But, I mean, they won – they had a bye four straight years. Only four teams in NFL history have ever done that. And the Broncos of this decade are one of them. And now you've – you know, this is not a franchise that's going to handle being 6-10 very well.
I'll go one step darker.
Whoa.
They don't even need to hit their darkest timeline to finish in fourth place in that division.
Yeah.
They could have like a mediocre average year where not a lot goes wrong and they still finish in fourth place.
That division is insane. Mm. And if the Chargers can just keep people healthy.
They're right in it.
Yeah. I think the Chargers have playoff talent.
They've had insane injuries these last few years, the Chargers.
Let's play in a little like 29,000 person stadium. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be intimate.
Let's soon be real. To be our favorite stadium.
They've got a little around the league podcast team potential here. These Chargers. I know we've gone down that road before. It didn't go well, but just saying, they're on the short list.
That rarely goes.
They're on my short list.
You won't be able to sing that song anymore because it won't be San Diego.
This is after years, Greg, of sticking up for San Diego's, you know, football fandom. Quickly jumps over to the LA Chargers as team of ATL.
Says a lot.
See how it goes around here.
Says a lot. All right. Okay.
Why are you looking at my
I have a quick softball
right
announcement, Dan.
What is it, Wes?
We better get tryouts started soon. We got an email from the culture committee. Starts April 4th.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, we got to get off the air right now because we got to start preparing. I'm staring at Lindsay's Twitter. Hey, get off my wire, Greg. Jesus.
Total pros.
Lindsay Rhodes is the host of NFL Total Access, Monday to Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And you can also follow her on Twitter, @Lindsay. And this is the important part, _ Rhodes. That's why I was there. Because I knew there was something
I was wondering
fishy
why,
there.
Yeah, your it's computer like, has my Twitter page up.
@MarkSessler.
It's creepy.
And it's always
like that.
I know, right?
You walk by his desk. So,
you guys, she tweeted.
Mark is @MarkSesslerNFL.
Colleen Wolf is ColleenWolfNFL. You want to take a shot at her, too?
Well, you know, I didn't take a shot, but.
Some people are a little bit different than you, Dan.
Mr. Fancy Pants over there.
That's how he got the name, Mr. Fancy Pants.
This has been fun.
Linz.
We will not see you again for
months. He's like, I got to go.
Linz, it was great to have you. Now you go off to do your other job. Not the most important job you'll do today.
Yes.
You've already knocked that out over the last hour. Thank you for coming by, and best of luck in all future endeavors.
Wow.
But most importantly, I should say, most importantly, it is time to start plotting it out. The broker a peace between the cars.
Okay, I'm working on it.
And the Around the NFL podcast.
Yep. Half of it.
Maybe we should.
We're
have
fine with it.
We could have David on first, maybe.
David puts
know.
The bro
oh, there
out
you
broker.
Go.
I don't think it's happening the other way.
Who knows?
Let's have exactly.
Yes.
Like Derek, can you come
you
on?
You should book David. See, I'll broker David as a guest for your podcast.
I don't want to ambush
and
him
then
now.
You bring David on, and then David calls up Derek. and works things out live on the air.
How about
this feels like
that.
Really good
we
content.
We don't want to ambush.
He could unblock David, you on during the show.
Oh, my gosh. It would be
on live television.
Oh, it's such a good podcast.
How about this?
I can't wait.
Linz, your role in this is greasing the skids.
Okay.
Just making it clear the two of us are absolutely in good space.
Oh, yeah, you're
Carr
fine.
And continue to be.
You don't even have to be in the studio for it.
No, we'll be in there.
Yeah. Chief skid grease.
Oh, the two people.
Greg hasn't said anything negative for like 24 hours.
Right.
So. That should help your cause.
And to keep it clear, Derek, the two guys you don't know weren't involved, but the two guys you don't know were involved.
Be easy to keep track.
All right, Linz, you have a very important part in this, and we're counting on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make that conversation happen today.
All right. Cool.
All right.
All right. That's it. Exciting news here at the Around the NFL podcast. We will be back Friday with our third show of the week. So thank you to everyone for following along. Make sure you check us out on the iTunes and leave some stars and comments. And we might even read them on the air. Yeah, you never know. Maybe not, but maybe we will.
Or tweet them to me and I'll retweet them. And then we know that Dan will see it.
That's true. Linz has not tweeted in 4 hours. Need more tweets from Linz.
Creeper.
All right. It's time to go.
Creep.
She's got me. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, Linz, the boss, the new money behind the glass. Till Friday.
Peace.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.